Coming up on TMS, Avengers has a big problem.
I'll take a cheeseburger for the horse.
I thought you were a dog.
T-Rex catches fire.
Oh, well. Guess we gotta go to Pornhub.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of The Morning Stream. Well, that's a song. Nope.
This is The Morning Stream. But it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM. It is the PM edition of the morning stream for Friday, March 23rd, 2018. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Is it? Is it, though?
It is. It's a kind of a happy Friday.
How are you going to celebrate your Friday? What are you going to do?
I am going to, I've already completed my film sack viewing, your which home. Is good. Yeah. I like getting that done Friday.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the afternoon, I am going to, well, not really for the rest of the afternoon, for a little part of the afternoon, I'm going to model and 3D print this little James Bond figure that got broken that is from an old 1960s James Bond tabletop game.
Wow.
That my uncle found, and he's like, I need... Can you make me a green James Bond? Like,
wow, basically, that's really
here's
cool.
The little James Bond dude. He just looks like a little flat meeple.
He wants to make one of those?
Just yeah, he wants me to make one of those, 3D print one of those for him. Actually, he wants me to 3D print one of those in each color because over the years,
yeah.
Three of the four colors have gotten broken, and you have a whole fleet of James Bonds in the game. Like, you've got...
All right.
Yeah. Each player controls like four red James Bonds or four green James Bonds or four yellow James Bonds.
What is that about? So, why, what kind of game is this?
It's a tabletop game. I'm sure I played it back in 1978 or something.
Yeah.
I can't even remember. I remember there was a clock built into the board game to the actual board.
Yeah.
And every time you took a turn, the clock would advance an hour and something would happen. Like, I keep wanting to say control and chaos, but, Spectre would, slowly start to take over or they'd complete world domination at the stroke of midnight or something. And so you've got to,
wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Chutes and ladders. I get it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Well, all right. That seems like a perfect job for a 3D printer. Actually,
it's a fun, you know, I've been working on crap all day today. Like, a boat sale ad, like an ad to sell a boat,
mm-hmm.
you know, several $100,000 boat. And then I did an ad for, I did a spinning prize wheel for a company to take along to trade shows.
Oh, no way.
But not a physical one. Yeah. It'd be more fun if it was a physical one. No, this is a digital one. So it just goes.
Like a little JavaScript-y thing, or what was it?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's all right. Hey, look, whatever, man. You gotta spin a wheel somehow. If it's digitally, fine.
It's a gig economy, man. It's a gig economy.
That's right. That's how you have to look at it. Gigabit economy. Got it. Well, we're back. We're doing a show. We got stuff to talk about. We got things today. So everybody tuck in. Real quick here. I went to dinner last night. So my wife's home now. She got home late last night. She was babysitting for her sister and her brother-in-law for a week while they were in the Caymans. Long story about why that happens. Anyway, they have been, you know, good kids. They're not hard or anything to deal with, but that's been going on. And last night we thought, you know what? Normally we have big family dinner on Thursday night where Taylor and Dylan come over and we do a whole thing. But because we couldn't do that, let's all meet at the Brick Oven. It's a pizza place. The Brick Oven. Do you guys have Brick Oven?
Sounds familiar, but we had the Brick Oven Beanery.
Oh, yeah, that's not it.
Which I think they had to shut down because of claims of racism in the name. But
I want that to be true. I want it to be true. I don't think it's true.
But... The Brick Oven Beanery used to be on Colfax. I don't know if it's still around. I don't remember seeing it. I think it's now a Kinko's FedEx.
Yeah. Maybe it's a...
It's at least half a beaner.
It's a half a beaner.
Exactly. That's what made me think of it.
Yeah.
But no, we don't have a Brick Oven pizza place. That sounds good.
Yeah, it's really good. And the pizza's all cooked in brick ovens, as you would imagine. And they do like a big... I mean, you can do like individual plates and dishes and stuff like that. Or you can have the big buffet thing. And we had a bunch of cards gift cards to cash in there.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, having 12 of us there wasn't going to kill us financially because we had all these gift cards.
Right, yeah.
So we went and did all this and got all our stuff, and we decided to do the buffet thing. And the way the buffet thing is, you can go to the salad bar, you can go to the pasta bar, you can go to the fruit bar, all you want, as much as you want, like a normal buffet. But the pizza itself is not in the buffet. They bring it out hot on a big wooden thing, freshly out of the oven, and say, who would like pepperoni and whatever? Who would like garlic chicken, blah, blah, blah? Who would like whatever?
So they bring it to your table and say, you guys want a slice of this? And then they give you a slice?
Yeah, a little bit like the meat place, like the Brazilian meat joints.
Right, churrascarias. Right. Okay, that's cool. Because we've got, what we have here is Woody's, wood-fired pizza. And that's kind of the same thing, except you have to go up to a counter. You've got your salad bar as well.
Yeah.
Off separated out, but they just keep churning out pizzas and putting it on this big counter between the kitchen and the dining room. And so you go up there like, oh, that looks good. And you just take a slice and sort of thing. I'd like it a lot more if they brought the pizzas to you and said, all right, who wants Canadian bacon pineapple?
Yeah. Especially because, if you go to the one, like the buffets where they just have pizzas under lamps, that's the worst.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, where they've been sitting all day. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so of the options, bringing it to your table would be good. And it was always piping hot and always really good, and the kids all just want cheese like usual. But the rest of us are like, oh, what's this? Our artesian monkey brain skippy-doo they bring us. And we'd eat that.
Kids don't know how to pizza.
I know, they don't.
What age do you learn how to pizza? Like, do you learn finally that, sure, every once in a while, a slice of cheese pizza is great.
Yeah.
But...
I agree. I agree, dude. I agree. It's pretty weird. Like, I think probably, I don't know.
12.
Nick, are you in here?
Yeah.
What kind of pizza will you eat? Any kind? What if I brought you like something with everything on it, like vegetables and garlic this and chicken and barbecue and all those sorts of things? Okay, so we know 17's good.
17 is a good age. Yeah, I think 12 is probably where you start saying, oh, maybe I don't want just a slice of plain cheese pizza.
Yeah, and before, by the way, all you truant officers out there, if you're wondering why Nick's home in the middle of a Friday, his term ended yesterday, and they have today off, so he's not at school today.
We probably have a really huge truant officer listener base, don't we? It's like. More truant officers listen to the morning stream than any other podcast out there.
Brian, I'm not even 100% sure what a truant officer is, so there's that.
If there even are truant officers anymore, is that still a vocation you can enter?
Well, these guys would just, roam around town and look for youth who were out of school?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So they're a pedophile with a paycheck is basically what they...
Pedophile with a paycheck. Oh, I can't wait.
Just roam around town looking for kids.
The Amazon series I will not binge.
I think anyway. We just lost all of our truant officer listener base.
Yeah, we're truancy free now. Anyway, so the point being that, what was my whole point of this was, you'd think it'd be a smiley, happy place. People bringing things to people.
Yeah, right.
Grinning.
Happy, who doesn't love working in a pizza place?
Everyone at Brick Oven, it turns out. Everybody
really?
Was grouchy. Everyone, and I mean everyone. Lady at the front desk, guy who could barely hear us. It's like, is this everybody? No, we got two more coming. Okay, I need to walk away. We get the extra two people there. Okay, this is all of us now, and we're as bright and shiny as you can be. And he's like, okay, hang on a second. And he get his thing. Follow me. Then we go do that. And then the ladies who are bringing us, who take the order, she just seemed like she did not want to be there. And then the people bringing around the pizzas, they're like, okay, I've got one more pepperoni on this thing. Does anyone want it? We're like, no, I think we're all good. And then you just walk away. It's like all night, everybody was so grouchy at the Brick Oven. And I don't know why I like the Brick Oven. It's fine. It's good pizza. When we were teenagers, this has been around forever. When you're teenagers, this is where you go for prom. It was a cheap way to have a fun crowd. And you'd go in and do your deal. And pizza's good. And it was. It was good last night. But when people are grumpy, I always worry about somebody spitting in my food or something. You know?
Yeah, right.
But we tipped
them.
That's
a valid concern, for sure.
We gave them a tip, so it's fine. They got their tip. Anyway.
You just could, but you couldn't figure out, like, if there was any one thing, like, oh, we all have to work with Barry tonight.
I know, I couldn't. I wish it would have been. I wish that somebody would have let it slip. Somebody would have gone, oh, Barry left another floater in the bathroom or something. But no, it didn't happen.
Nobody likes working with Barry. Aww.
All right. So this is the thing I wanted to make sure we talked about today. There is an alternative poster for the fourth Avengers film.
Okay.
which does have Ant-Man in it and Wasp.
Okay, what about Hawkeye? Okay, what about Hawkeye, though?
Hold on. Yeah, he's in it. He's in it. He's in it. He's totally in it. So, right. Hold on. I'm going to show this to the chat room. Here
this
you go.
Is not an alternative poster for the movie.
Oh, it's not?
No. This is a poster for Avengers Land in Hong Kong Disneyland.
Oh, okay. All right. No, that's good to know, because I thought this was for the film. All right, so this is Avengers Land in Hong Kong Land or whatever. As you can see, you got flying Wasp Lady. You got one of the shippy ships over here. I forget what that ship's called. What's that called? The plane thing? Whatever.
The Quinjet.
Yeah, down here you got Hawkeye in the background. There's Wasp. There's Captain America looking very Captain-y and America-y. There's the, I don't know what that is in the background. Anyway, there's a Stark name kind of covered up in the back. Big giant four, and then in the very back, in the city skyline, there is what is supposed to be, I assume, some kind of building.
Yeah.
But I would point people's attention to it as it's probably not a building. I think that's a wiener.
Buildings look like wieners.
Look at that, though. Look at that, Brian.
All right. Well, it does. Yes. But all right. If you scroll down.
Yeah.
There's a photo of the Hong Kong, I believe that's the Hong Kong skyline.
Oh,
and
of the
showing
article. Yeah.
The building, because that's not Stark Tower. That's not the Avengers Tower with that long part that comes out that they can land the Quinjet on or whatever.
Oh, so they say it's this thing.
Yeah, I think it's that.
What's that called? That wasn't there when I was there. That must be newish. When I was in Hong Kong, that building did not, I never saw it.
Well, hold on a second, because
that says Stark on it.
It does say Stark on it, yeah.
I don't understand what's happening. Maybe it's real. Maybe Avengers are real.
Well, it's, yeah.
But this wouldn't be the first time Disney's...
Is that photoshopped in there or something?
I don't know.
Because that... Now I'm confused.
Yeah.
That's not New York... Avengers New York. There's not that much water around Avengers New York.
Right. Right. I think what
or giant mountains on the other side of Manhattan.
No. I mean the entirety of Hong Kong is just like a weird peninsula-y looking fragmented thing anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that whatever that building is, if that's real,
yeah,
is what they're doing in this image.
It's definitely not real, cuz if you look closely at it, it is the Stark Tower. It's just turned so that the landing pad is closer to us, slightly offset, slightly at an angle.
Yeah,
but just enough of an angle to like give it the
phallic
the telltale
shape.
Right, exactly, to make it look like a wiener.
I do know what you're saying.
I think it's
if you zoom in on that thing.
If there were more buildings around it, it wouldn't be such a big deal. Right.
It would blend in because the buildings that are around it are faded and kind of in the background and aren't really notable.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm exactly. zoomed way in on this
but
thing.
That's highlighted. That is like super highlighted right in that center of the A. It's like, look at that right there. Yeah. What do you think that is?
Yeah. What's the chat room's consensus here? They all think it's a wiener.
Yeah.
But Disney's done this before. Remember the Little Mermaid VHS cover thing? I have that somewhere in this house. Somewhere.
Well, it's also on the... you have that one. That's right. Yeah,
I do. It's rare. It's hard to get.
That said, so Hong Kong Disneyland has Avengers stuff coming? This is new.
Yeah,
this is new.
Because
I didn't think that they...
This is how I know you're a true fan, by the way. This is how I know. Because... I'm over here going, there's a giant wiener in the skyline. And Brian's going, no, wait, what's going on in Hong Kong? I'm going to go down there.
Right.
See this thing.
Oh, see, this is brand new. They just announced this March 20th. They just announced this I'm starting to sound like Jeff Goldblum. They just announced this three days ago.
Oh, that's great. That seems like a thing you'd love. You'd go to that.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Like the spider, like the middle one, is regular Disneyland, mm-hmm. and it says it's got a little Spider-Man and stuff on there, and looks like Black Panther. It's funny, I can't zoom in on those. Oh, there we go. Now we can. Mm. Yeah, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Black Panther on the Disneyland one.
Yeah,
Ooh.
Yeah. Look at you thinking about a trip to Hong Kong now.
No, I'm not. This one is for California.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's the one that says recruitment begins. So I just put a new link in the chat room.
Oh.
I'll put it here too.
Yeah, there it is.
Discord. And it's three parks, three different parks. Hong Kong's the only one that happens to have a phallic symbol in the middle of it.
Right.
But Paris, you think Paris, with the giant phallic symbol that they've got in their city.
Yeah, you think they'd figure out a way to work that in. Yeah, here you're right. Yeah. So this is everywhere then. Everybody's getting this.
Everybody's doing this. And you know, now that I see this one, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, buildings in the background, you've got the Sanctum Sanctorum, the Doctor Strange's place of residence.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like you've got Avengers Tower back there. So it's like, these aren't supposed to be the buildings from California or the buildings from Hong Kong or the buildings from whatever. These are
Avenger Towers.
Disney, Avengers Disney buildings that maybe they're going to...
Right. So that might be at the park if you go to Hong Kong. You might see this wiener in the sky is what you might see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, penis in the sky. What are you going to do?
2020 is when they're saying all these rides are going to be built. So next year, Star Wars Land. The year after that, Avengers Land.
Yep. Brian's got it all planned out.
And the year after that, I sell the house and move to Anaheim.
Just get it over with.
I might as well just like see if I can go move into the Country Bear Jamboree. Like, can I just move in there? And nobody's using that, right?
Why not? Why not?
I put a bed in the corner and Blue just sits there and sings me to sleep every night.
Plus, isn't Anaheim's closer to Vegas than Colorado is to Vegas? Right?
Yeah, but probably not by much.
I think it's about 6 hours or something is all. I think you'd shave 4 hours off your drive there. Something like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Randy always says it takes him 6 hours to get there or something.
Oh, wow. It's 4 hours and 14 minutes according to
That's better. That's better than me then. That's even better than me. Yeah. You'd get there an hour before I did if we left at the same time.
No way they're taking into account the typical California, how long it takes to drive from one part of Los Angeles to the other.
Good point. Yeah, getting the hell out of there is the problem. But once you do, it's clear sailing.
4 hours. Almost makes me want to say, all right, go to BlizzCon, get there a couple days early, drive to Vegas, drive back to Anaheim, and then do the BlizzCon.
These are all terrible ideas.
Very, very bad ideas.
Yeah, these are all bad ideas. It's okay, though, because that's what we're here. We're the king of bad ideas here on the morning stream.
That's right.
All right, time for the news, everybody.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the news, and it's not brought to you by anybody.
Not brought to you by anything.
No, not really. I had two pieces of toast and an old piece of pork this morning for breakfast.
And an old piece of pork?
Yeah, we've had them. You know, I think.
Why put the word old in there? Well,
do you remember? I told you last week that Nick pre-barbecued, like, I don't know, 12.
Oh, yeah, right.
12 pork chops, and we only had, you know, we had tons left over. And we just put them in the fridge. They're all cooked and done. And all you have to do is microwave them or heat them up or whatever. Put them on a pan and eat them. And so I've been doing that here and there. And we finally got to the last one. Now, I will say the pork itself is fine, 100% fine. But the bag that they've been in, which used to be full of pork, is now down to one piece of pork. It's a little funky in there.
I was going to say, if it was a paper bag, it's now transparent, I'm sure.
Yeah, kind of. It started to feel pretty gross. Actually, it's plastic, but it starts to look like, it looks like, let's say it this way. It looks like Johnny Knoxville's rear window at the end of.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah,
okay. A little like that. Also, this reminds me, daughter's over last night. We're about to leave to go to the pizza place. And her dog's here, and we're trying to keep the dog happy while we're gone in a kennel. Her big pit bull, Izzy.
Okay.
And so we have this big black bone, a rubber bone. I swear it's a bone, everybody. It's not something else.
Oh, sure.
One end. Well, anyway, what does it matter? It looks like a bone. It's like a cartoon bone. Got the two, units at the ends.
Lumps on the ends, right.
Sure. And inside of the sides of those things are holes, and inside is kind of corrugated. So the idea is you put peanut butter in there, and then they spend hours trying to get at the peanut butter. That's the idea.
Okay. Right. It's a teasing, keep the dog occupied so we can get a few minutes of rest tactic.
Basically, yes. It's like giving your kid one of those toys they sit in and there's like a million things to control and push. It's just a way to keep the dog occupied. Now, here's the problem. My problem with it, anyway, is that Taylor just grabs it. It's been on the floor, been chewed on 100,000 times. It's got her spit all over it still. And Taylor goes, all right, we got to fill this up. Takes a spoonful of peanut butter. Smears it into one of the holes, flips it around to do the other one, and is going straight for the peanut butter again with that same spoon. After rubbing it all over this rubber bone.
He wants to put it back.
And I said, Taylor, I'm not, you can't do that. Oh, it's fine, Dad. It's fine. No, it's not fine. We're all going to get Giardia from your freaking peanut butter goof right here.
Oh my God. This is what caused so much strife on the real world San Francisco with between Puck and Pedro.
That's right. Except it wasn't a bone. Anyway,
it was Puck like sticking his hand into the peanut butter and eating it.
Yeah, that's what it was. And he was acting like that was no big deal, but he never washed his hands. He was always picking his nose.
Right.
Doing snot rockets and all
snot
that.
Snot rockets, yeah. Oh my God. Look at that. Our real world San Francisco knowledge knows no bounds.
This is what happens when you get into a house. How's that thing go? And you move
this
into
is the
thing.
True story. True story of seven strangers picked to live in a house.
Live in a house.
To find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
Real world Los Angeles. No, that was real world San Francisco.
Not watched a real world season in
since God, then for me.
New Orleans might have been the last one for me.
I didn't even watch that one. I think the last one was San Francisco.
You stopped at San Francisco.
I think so. It was why that was the iconic season, man. That was the one. That was the one you remembered. And the characters were crazy. And
so you didn't watch, wasn't the one after that Los Angeles and you had the British guy and the cowboy dude who always wore his cowboy hat? That John, I think was his name.
Is that one or two? No, what was that? Three?
I think that was three. Yeah, I think that was the next one.
I'm trying to remember. There was a country singer guy in the first one. No, no, no. The first one didn't have him. You're right. I think it was three.
This one was in New York, and they were just figuring stuff out. They didn't even have like a diary room or...
That was just watching them walk around doing shit. That's all that was.
It really was, yeah.
It's a weird show. But anyway, point is...
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm not eating that peanut butter is the point. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to eat it. She's like, it's no big deal, Dad. I do it all the time, Dad. Come on, Dad. I'm like, that is freaking disgusting. What children have I raised? All right. I know dogs' mouths are a little cleaner than the rest of us, but come on.
Yeah. It doesn't mean I want to French kiss them.
No. And before you send me all your emails, Brian agrees with me. Okay.
Totally agree.
This is one of those where Scott's not freaking out and being all hypochondriac about this. This is agreement.
Agreed. Yes.
All right. A man attempted to ride his horse through a McDonald's drive-thru. So that's a cool thing. An unknown man. Unknown man.
Unknown man.
Why do I feel like we're going to hear any day that Stan Lee has passed away? Why do I feel that way right now?
Well, we are going to hear it someday. I mean,
one day we will, but
any day.
I mean, like soon. Like, why do I feel that way? I have a strong feeling it's soon. And I'm basing it a little on the news we've heard and some other stuff.
He's had health issues and stuff. I don't know. I mean, they went ahead and like filmed his cameos for the next 12 Marvel movies or something, didn't they?
Oh, did they? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little weird he's died. That's weird, isn't it? Isn't that a little weird? You're just here's a movie. Here's a movie in 2025 and here's Stan Lee.
I feel like we're going to see a movie like the first movie after he passes away.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's a long time away in the future.
Yeah.
We're going to see the first Marvel movie after that. And obviously they're going to have the, you know, dedicated to our friend Stan Lee or something like that. And when he makes his cameo, it's going to be like applause for days in the theater. Like it's going to be uproarious applause when they show him on screen.
Probably.
It's not going to be as weird as it is now to see the Twin Towers in a movie.
Mm, oh, good point. Right. He's not. Yeah. Because it's a life well celebrated. You know, it's not a, there's not a bunch of negativity or, you know, 3,000 deaths involved. It's just.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's why it's different.
Yeah, that's one reason. But I just have this.
It's not going to be like, that's a thing that's not there anymore. It's going to be like, Stan Lee, he's awesome.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's a fair assessment of what we should expect. Yeah. I hope he's not done. I hope he's here for a while longer.
Yeah, exactly. I hope he lives long enough to film 10 more future film cameos that they'll have in the can.
Sure. Whatever weird new actor they have for Wolverine. I want to see that, whatever that is. Did that Fox deal go through? Is it done?
I think it's done. I don't know. It's it feels like we all just got so excited when they announced that it was happening that we just forgot to just keep an eye on the news and say, is it still going?
Yeah.
Like, what's?
Yeah, that's how I feel too. But, yeah.
But it's going to be more like, what's going to happen with Captain America? Because Chris Evans is saying after four, he's out.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do anymore. Is it after four or after whatever the follow up to four is? I can't remember.
I'm sorry, after.
Because it used to be.
It was three coming up.
It was going to be two movies, right? And now there's. Now there's, I mean, there's still going to be two more movies.
Right. But the one coming up is three, is technically Avengers 3. We had, Avengers,
right.
Age of Ultron, Infinity War, and 4.
Yep. You're totally right. That
so
is
it's after 4.
That is correct. You're right. So yeah. Yes, 4 is the one after 3. Maybe, you know what it is? Ultron felt like four movies to me. So.
Well, Civil War felt like an Avengers movie.
Oh, so good point. Yeah.
Easy to count that one.
Yeah, basically was.
Basically
it's
like, was.
It's an excuse to make it. And the Russo brothers made it, who are making these next two, so why not?
Right.
And there's a wiener in this guy. Anyway, moving on. Oh yeah, so this guy, he went through the drive up on a horse, and some people are mad about that.
Really?
I don't think you should be mad at a guy for riding a horse through a drive.
No, I don't think you. I think you serve him. I mean, he's going to be way up higher than like in his than he would be in an El Camino. So.
Mm-hmm.
Like even higher than like an SUV, you've got to like reach up to give him.
You call it a drive through or a trot through? What do you call it through at that point? Because it's a slightly different experience, you know.
You don't drive a horse. Well, I guess you drive cattle with a horse.
You drive cattle with a horse, but you don't drive a horse. Think of that.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. All right. Well, that's a great story. Anyway, he got his food and everything's fine. Hey, yeah. A woman thought her ex-boyfriend was inside of a dog, so she cooked her dog in an oven.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's perfectly reasonable. Like, oh my gosh, my ex-boyfriend is inside it, so I better cook it.
Yeah, perfectly reasonable.
Can I maybe, without looking at any of the story, can I maybe guess the drugs are involved?
I think you would be safe to guess that there are drugs
involved. I'm going to guess the drugs are involved.
Yeah, well, let's find out together.
Okay.
And by the way, what was I going to say? I forgot. Something about an oven, and I forgot what it was. Well, I'll come back to it. A disturbed Oregon woman is what they're calling her.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Who thought an ex-boyfriend was inside of her pet dog, put the animal inside the oven and turned it on. Now she's facing animal abuse charges. Police were called to the home. She's 28 and from Warrington, wherever that is, where they discovered a grisly scene. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I thought maybe this was fake, but then I realized, no, Newsweek.com doesn't necessarily indulge in such things. Like,
yeah, they won't jump on an Onion article and say, all right, run it.
Yeah, run it. This sounds great. Dog in the oven. Let's go. This is bad. 7-year-old off-white Chihuahua named Bolt belonged to Moore. That's her last name. She told police she placed the dog in the oven, thinking her ex-boyfriend was inside of it. Quote, I was allowed entry into the trailer.
Has he been inside the Chihuahua before?
Oh, I don't want to think about that. This is the police say they were allowed entry into the trailer. I mean, it's not that everybody in a trailer is doing drugs. We're just saying all the stereotypes are lining up, okay? That's what we're saying.
Right.
They found the deceased dog in the burner in the oven, so the report. The oven was not currently on. When they checked, the smell of burned hair and flesh was still in the air. Moore was arranged on one count of aggravated animal abuse in the first degree for the March 19th incident. She's due in court on March 28th and is currently being held in Clatsop County Jail. I bet... So they don't go into the drug thing, but I'll bet there were drugs, dude. There had to be drugs.
Has to be. You don't think your boyfriend inside a Saint Bernard, maybe, but not inside a Chihuahua.
Yeah, there were drugs. Let's just say it.
Let's just assume there are drugs.
Scott's going to put it down on the record. There were drugs.
Yeah,
there will be drugs. Drink your milk. Here's one life size.
Bob. I'm guessing we lost Bob.
Did we lose Bob?
That was the.
That's the end of Bob. I'm trying to see the last time he posted here.
That was the rattle in the mountain drive, the off-roading that finally shook that suitcase loose.
That's right. Somebody check on Bob, will you? Make sure he's okay.
Check on Bob.
Yeah. He's free hotel or what is it? Free hotel room.
Free hotel room. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Bob. A life-size animatronic T-Rex burst into flames at a dinosaur theme park. Ah, this is so cool. I did this mainly to show you the picture and to mention it's in Colorado.
No, they show this on the news. This breaks my heart because I've been to the Royal Gorge and I've seen that dinosaur.
Yeah.
And
look at that thing, man.
I know.
Here I'm gonna play it. There's some video. Let's see. Yeah, look at this. Oh my gosh. That is just. It just sounds a
new Jurassic Park film.
That T-Rex is on fire.
Yeah, I mean.
Is it animatronic like it normally is moving and stuff?
Yeah, the whole thing's going to go now.
Oh, some guy's talking. I'm going to mute him. But is that what happened to some electronic stuff, blue or whatever?
I don't remember it moving. It would look. It was just like a.
If somebody said
like kind of like the rigging, like
I think somebody could set it on fire, maybe. Like
yeah, actually, if you go to 41 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, I'm there. It's all it's
yeah, the skin is all cleared off of it. Maybe it looks like the arms might have moved.
Ew, look at this stuff just sloughing off of it. Oh, I don't like it.
No. Yeah, no, it's...
Well, there you go, everybody.
The editing on this video is absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, like, I hate it.
It goes from being fully engulfed in flame to being done, and you just see the skeletal remains, and...
Yeah, I hate it. Sucks. Well done, video people.
The whole thing's really a bummer, though.
Yeah. Well, that's a bummer. It was at the Royal Gorge Dinosaur Experience. We have something like this here in southern Utah as well. As far as I know, none of it was ever caught on fire. But anyway, they say it was probably the cause of an electrical malfunction. Again, it's hard to tell how. Maybe there were lights in that thing or something. 24-foot tall T-Rex. Big loss to the park. His name was Reynolds. Zach Reynolds. Sorry. the guy who owns the park.
The owner. The co-owner is Reynolds. Yeah.
Sorry. Reynolds had a sense of humor about it when he joked, quote, "We knew he had a temper, but today he blew his top."
Somebody thought their ex-boyfriend was inside.
My ex-boyfriend's in the dinosaur down there at the park.
I got to blow it up.
I got to set it on fire. All right, final story. Restrictions on YouTube have led some gun enthusiasts. So to give you some backstory, YouTube cracked down on videos that were instructional on how to make your guns essentially illegal and make them...
Yeah, putting bump stocks on them or modding them in ways that... Yeah.
Yeah, and these guns have been involved in all the recent horrible shootings. Bump stocks in particular were in the Vegas shooting and other stuff. So they're, you know, cracking down. Which I think is probably a good idea. They're a platform that can make a choice like that, and I think it's probably a good idea. You don't need to be teaching some kid how to make a freaking bump stock for their gun for their next mass shooting.
Right, right.
Well, here's what they've done. Those gun enthusiasts who have felt the pinch of being cracked down upon or being restricted on YouTube, and this isn't everybody, by the way. If you're doing some completely legal thing, your channel's just fine. You're out there still making target shooting things or skeet shooting this or that or how to use a 30-06.
Showing gun safety and stuff like that. Sure. Those videos still there and totally happy to see those.
All good. Even potato gun stuff still there. I went and found a bunch of that. It's just like people going, all right, here's an AR-15 that I've turned into a mass killing monster machine that's illegal.
Right.
So these guys have all taken their videos to Pornhub because they have nowhere else to go. The battle over firearms has officially entered the digital realm. YouTube announced that it will place more restrictions on these firearm videos, and the move is angered. Some gun enthusiasts are now publishing their content on a large porn site. Starting next month, this is when this happens, all that will happen, and videos on how to install firearms modifications will be barred or banned. YouTube says the change is expanded upon existing policies. Quote, routinely make updates or adjustments to our enforcement guidelines across all our policies. While we've long prohibited the sale of firearms, we recently notified creators and updates that will make it about making content around promoting the sale or manufacture of firearms and their accessories, specifically items like ammunition, Gatling triggers, and drop-in auto sears.
Wow.
So these guys all ran off to Pornhub.
Right. So watch out for videos that are titled Getting a Bigger Bang.
Yeah. Or My Gun's Bigger Than Yours. Or
that's right.
That's as far as I know.
Check out while watch me clean my shaft.
And then you might actually go to see, how to clean my barrel. And then you'll find something you don't want on the other end of that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I think this is pretty freaking funny, but whatever. I mean, why not go to like Daily Motion or Vimeo
or
anybody? Yeah. The rest of them aren't doing that as far as I know. I don't know why you'd go porn. That to me says that I don't know what that says. I don't know what that means. Like, why is that your first choice? Because it'll never get pulled. I don't know.
Well, I already have a membership here. I've already been uploading some amateur stuff. Might as well put my gun stuff up here, too.
Hey, honey, you know that place we've been putting our videos? They're going to let me do my gun shit.
How come all of us gun owners have Southern accents? I don't get it. Anyway,
We'll get heat for that. We're going to take a break. I think it's a song break. That's what this is. When we come back, we'll do some app reviews. We'll talk to Dan, the tabletop man. Well, we'll do it posthumously. Well, that's the wrong word because he's not dead. And we'll do it without him here. We have a thing to put in post.
Right.
And then we'll do your Twitter questions. All that and more coming right up after this carefully procured song by Brian.
Yes, and big thanks to Sean Pope, who I was supposed to email and let him know when we were going to play it. Dear Sean, playing it today. All right, there we go. Sean Pope said, hey, get this rad new band debuting their first album, which is called Joy in the Wild Unknown. Comes out April 6th. He reached out to him. He sent me the discussion with the band. It's funny. He sent me a screenshot inside. Oh, they sent him a screenshot of them saying okay in their notes application.
Oh.
And sent it back to him in the messages app.
Okay.
By the way, Sean, go plug in your phone because you're at 14%. as he describes it, they're a blend of funk, rock, country, and a little blues here and there. Definitely worth a listen. They're also on tour in the U.S. right now. This is a 7-piece Boston band called Ripe. And these guys are great. I'm totally, totally digging this. This is their independent full-length debut. Apparently, they've released an EP before. Joy in the Wild Unknown. Again, it comes out April 6th, so 2 weeks. But for right now, enjoy this. This is, scrolling up here. This is the song called Downward from the band Ripe.
Ah, Downward Facing Dog. Yoga fans rejoice. Here it is. Yeah. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned. Here you go.
Eyes like water, heart like hunger, and like mind view, heart like thunder. Earth starts with why it why. Now we're in daylight, I keep you crazy while you keep me upright. And we were not surprised to find each other's eyes responding to the moment, all chasing after what we both wanted. Dive uncharted waters, tomorrow's a whispered promise until you cue me with goodbye. And if keep saying, yeah, don't be nervous, things aren't that good. But if this only your decision till you change your mind, this love keeps pulling me downward, pulling me downward. This love keeps pulling me downward, pulling me downward. Call me side bet, lucky rabbit, I could see what's going. So you could call me prophet. We fight every morning. You kiss like a wound. I'll retreat to memories of when I adored you. When we were not surprised to find each other's eyes responded to the moment of chasing after what we both wanted. Dive and shot it waters. Tomorrow's a whispered promise. So cue me with goodbye. This love keeps pulling me. Cut both ways when you spend your nights chasing charming strange. And I know that there are no straight answers to what should I call this thing I feel. But love keeps pulling me downward, pulling me downward, pulling me downward. This love keeps pulling me downward. We'll be right back.
that's a good time. A good time.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it's a good time. I had a good time with it.
Good time, yes.
That was great, actually. Was
lot, yeah.
I liked it a lot. It was a happy tune.
Sure. Well, that's what we want here.
Here is also a happy tune. Meep, 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 meep. Oh, I'm so excited about this.
App Slappy.
So all the rage lately, it's been people playing PUBG Mobile and Fortnite Mobile. That's kind of been all anyone wants to talk about. So I decided to go against type and not talk about those.
Okay.
They're exactly, I played them both. They're exactly what you expect and a little better. Honestly, I'm a little surprised how well they translate. It's kind of shocking.
You might have a code for me, right?
Yes. In fact, somebody told me today that they sent you a, you should have gotten a Facebook message with your code. Did you not get that?
Oh, really?
You should have gotten that by now.
Facebook? Who checks Facebook Messenger?
Oh, nobody is the answer. And maybe less people now moving forward will be checking Facebook Messenger. But in there, I think, is your code. And now that code is in the hands of Cambridge Analytica, who will use your code to do something bad. Anyway, it's this game here that we got here called... or no, what am I trying to say? Sorry. So PUBG Mobile and Fortnite... Both are, you know, these Battle Royale, 100 enter, 1 leaves kind of games. They've been on PC and doing gangbusters forever. Currently, Fortnite is the world's most popular video game, which is kind of insane.
Right.
PUBG kind of had that title for a bit and then slipped. But their mobile iterations of both of those games are shockingly well made and kind of just freaking work. So I don't know how it's possible that it still sort of maintains that same level of tension. I think on mobile, I prefer PUBG because there's just a little bit less going on. The building aspect of Fortnite is kind of nuts in that department. Yeah. So it's not my, of the two, I think I actually prefer PUBG on mobile. But instead of talking about either of those, even though I just talked about them, I'm going to talk to you about a game called Good Pizza, Great Pizza.
Oh, good. I saw you tweeting about this. So I'm very curious about this. I saw Smack Talk.
Yeah, you and I are on the record as liking time management games. It feels like a style of game that isn't as popular as it used to be, but I've always enjoyed those way back to the Sally Spa game that I used to play.
Right.
And also I like games where you cook stuff and make food for people and have to do it in a certain amount of time. My ultimate favorite of that ever was Cook, Serve, Delicious. That was a fantastic game.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. I have that on Steam and on my tablet, and it's great. I always go back to that game. There's actually a sequel out, but it's not on mobile yet. Anyway, I found this game called Good Pizza, Great Pizza, supposedly co-created by someone who is an actual pizza, I don't know what you call them, ovenist, pizza artisan, whatever.
Really? Okay.
And chef, sure. So you start this little pizza place. It's got a really twisted sense of humor. The art style is a mix of very simple cartoon and then kind of painterly where you're actually making the pizzas. But the way it works is, you know, guy comes to your counter, says a weird, obnoxious way of saying what he wants.
Okay.
This is what kind of sets it apart. He'll say...
Hipsters, yeah, man.
He'll say, I love me some pepperoni, but I like me some sausage even more, but I really like it cut in half. That's what he'll say. And what that means is a sausage pizza...
Cut in half.
So it's all, and again, and those get trickier as you go, like weirder riddles. Like, I like it six ways, but I don't like no sauce. Give me half the cheese. And you know, like start doing all that kind of stuff. Put it through the oven twice, this kind of thing. And then you go and you, you know, you smear around your hooch with your finger and you put the goop on it and put the cheese there and try to put the equal spaces of all your little meat products or whatever, and then put it through this oven. And then the oven pops out, put it in the thing and give it to him before his satisfaction level gets too low, which is a mechanic we're familiar with. And then he'll pay you more tips based on how quickly you did it and how accurately you did it. Either way, you get the you get the profit from the pizza sale, but what you really are aiming for are tips from these people. And it's just like, next day, earn some money. Ooh, I'm going to get new toppings today, so let's get mushrooms. Okay, boom, that's $50 to have mushrooms permanently. So now mushrooms are always part of an option for their orders. And so that's how it gets more complicated. Sometimes people say, I want two pizzas, and you got like three stations where you can make up to three pizzas at once. It's kind of awesome. I don't know why, though. I'm still kind of a little bit struggling to figure out why I find it as good or maybe even better than most of these.
Yeah.
And I think it's the attention to the simplicity of the game loop. Like, they haven't gone too crazy where it's like, now you can move to another town and buy a sushi restaurant. Like, I know there's something to that for some people. They want a more complex whatever. Sure. But sometimes I'm just like, give me the order, make the thing. Did I get it right? Sweet. Give me the money. Give me an order. Make the thing. Just, I want to go. And this game just lets you go. Perfect for mobile, in my opinion. Runs great on phone.
I'm already loving this. I'm already on board. The artwork is great. The artwork reminds me of Scribblenauts a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, a little bit, yeah, for sure.
But not the people themselves.
No, the people themselves are kind of like, I don't know, if I only had one complaint, it would be that the two styles kind of clash a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not, you get over it. It's no big deal.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's
got
kind of a sense of humor. The guy across the street is kind of like Bob's relationship with
Jimmy Pesto,
yeah. So he's always coming over and giving you shit about how bad your pizzas are. And so you have to show him how good you are at one, and he'll say, this pizza's amazing. Oh, did I say amazing? I meant a turd. Ha, ha, ha. And then he'll leave. So,
did playing this game have any influence on you guys going to Brick Oven Pizza?
No, but it fit nicely. It fit very nicely. I was thinking about pizza when I went. And anyway, and it's also one of these games where Kim started watching me play it last night when she was home.
Yeah. Yeah,
and she said, "Oh, don't forget to." And she starts like getting involved,
backseat pizza driving. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, which isn't a thing she usually does. So I don't know if that's I guess that's a thing in its favor. But anyway, good pizza, great pizza. I think it's awesome.
Yeah,
I've only played it on iOS. I don't know. I assume this is on Android because it's. I mean, why wouldn't it be? It's a pretty simple game. It's not like you have to do some 6 months of conversion or anything weird.
Right.
So it probably is, but it's free and it's not pushy with the micros. They're in there, but you don't need to at all. Sometimes you can get an extra higher tip for that day if you watch a video. You know, they have that stuff, but it's none of it is forced. None of it is automatic.
So excited to play this.
Yeah, you're going to like it, dude. I think you're really going to like it. There's a way to speed your oven up. It's really expensive, though, so I got to, like, save my money for it. Because my oven right now is my biggest backlog. It's like you have to slowly run it through there. And
it's got a little conveyor belt. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's basically the Little Caesars oven, right? You just got the conveyor belt. You put the pizza on there.
Yeah.
It's way through and cooks.
And credit where it's due. I mean, I know everyone, at least on iOS, everybody was a little bit concerned when Apple changed the store to be so, not editorial, but there's so many stories on it now about,
yeah,
here's how this game is made, or here are our favorite whatevers. Hey, we interviewed the guy who made What's It's Called, and there's a lot of that stuff. And I was a little hesitant at first, too. I'm like, what are we doing here? It's like a blog or something. That's really been great. I love it.
It has been for me, too. I've discovered so many things. Oh, yeah, this was the thing yesterday. It was the
That's how I saw it. Yeah, that's how I saw it. I went, oh, my gosh, what is this? I immediately was interested, and I wouldn't have known about it in any other way.
This is how I've discovered some stuff, too. So
it's great.
Completely. As a matter of fact, my game I discovered this way.
Oh, well, there you go. What's yours? Tell me yours.
My game is something called Zip Zap. And here's like the little title screen right there.
Zip Zap
and a little Z, right? Yeah. All right. And that Z is done kind of like a Tinker Toy or Erector Set is what it kind of looks like, right? Mm-hmm. You've got that kind of Erector Set look.
Yeah.
Oh my God, people in the chat room. I hit my head on a hatchback.
Oh, are they still giving you heat for that? They're still giving you heat for that.
I've seen that question get asked at least 5 times in chat today. I talked about it on yesterday's show or Wednesday's show.
Yeah, people. what kind of listeners are you people? Actually, we brought it up Wednesday and yesterday. Anyway.
Anyway, so Zip Zap, it's all this Erector Set, all these kind of little Erector Set things. And I know it keeps sounding like I'm saying erection, but I'm not. I'm saying Erector Set.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go to one of the earlier ones so I can show you.
I got a little video going for the chat as well. This looks interesting. It literally is like those Erector Set pieces.
It totally is. And they're all screwed together and stuff. And when you tap on the screen, all you do is you press your finger on the screen and it moves whatever is orange. Okay. Right? So I'm controlling that little thing and it's making its way towards the bottom. Mm-hmm. And once it sits on the gold dot, or once something is covering up that gold dot, it automatically goes to the next level.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's physics based. It is. You got to just download it and try it. I think it's $1.99.
Worth it.
100% worth it. Yeah. 100%.
I love physics puzzles. You're speaking my language here.
Yeah, and just the fact that it's like, like you get to a screen, you don't know. You know, you look at this thing, you don't know what you're doing. You just know that you're going to be controlling that orange thing, and So in this one, I've got to get the ball up to that other thing, up to the goal point. I'm totally doing this without seeing it. Let me see if I can do this where I can actually see myself playing the game. There we go.
And you do this only by pinching that turn joint, right?
Not even. Yeah, I mean, well, in this case, you're not pinching anything. You're just pressing the screen, and so you've got like a little flipper. Oh, I blew it. So I restart by swiping.
Yeah.
And now I want to go, vloop.
Oh.
Too late. I waited too late. All right, let's try it again. There's a little bit of delay on my screen. Oh, too early.
Yeah, try it again. We're going to get this.
Almost.
Oh, my gosh. You got it. Well done.
There we go. Yeah. And I'm doing this backwards, not seeing the screen except on a slightly delayed Chrome window, so people give me a break.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is such a blast. I'm already, I've just started level 5, and you get into way more complex structures. You're like flinging balls all over the place. And oh my God, this game is such a blast. It is available on Android as well. So
yep.
Google Play and App Store, $1.99, I believe. And again, the best $2 you're going to spend this week on a mobile game.
No brainer.
This game is such a blast.
No brainer. I'm getting it. What a weird name though, ZipZap. What a weird name.
ZipZap. I don't know why it is, but I could honestly sit and watch people play this game and laugh my head off because it's like, oh, that one didn't move, and the ball dropped all the way to the bottom. They didn't get it right. All right, and then it starts over. Oh, now they were too early. And it's like, you're watching yourself play this, and you're laughing because it's these little inanimate things going, fling! And
it also looks like the perfect pick-up and play, quick fix kind of deal.
Easily. Yes, yeah. Easily.
Are you playing that on your iPad or on your phone?
On my phone. Seems this is more, absolutely a phone thing because...
Seems more phone-like to me, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a thumb right on the screen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Play it while you're driving your car, because you can have one hand on the wheel.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Yeah, that's a great idea. While you're driving, play your
apps. Don't do that, people.
Yeah. Stare at the app. Don't look at the road. Hey, I'm done with the Sims game. I'm done.
I am too. I stopped. I went cold turkey a couple days ago. It was not hard. It was like, oh my God, am I just really going to send her back to work at the stupid barista and him back to work at his yeah. Restaurant? Is that all I'm doing?
Yeah, that's all you're doing, it turns out.
Go to a party. Oh, I've got a to-do list. I've got to change their clothes. Okay, let's change their stupid clothes.
No, it's a beautiful rendering of the game, but the gameplay elements wear super thin really quick. Like,
yeah,
it bums me out a little bit.
Yep. Nope, I'm done. I'm done with the Sims.
Bums me out because I love a proper Sims game. Like desktop Sims, great. Always enjoyed it. It's a way better video game than this thing. And they had a real chance here and they blew it. Anyway, hey, check it out. Zip Zap is Brian's. Mine is Good Pizza, Great Pizza. Worth your time. Now we're going to take a moment to let our friend Dan the Tabletop Man.
I hope he mentions meeple.
He might mention a meeple. And he likes to also just give advice about pharmaceutical stuff because he's in the pharmacy business. So that may happen as well. But who knows on this sixth episode of this series he's been doing. Dan, take it away.
Greetings, programs. It's Dan the Board Game Man. I'm back again. We're going to give you a little information on some Steam and iOS news for board games, and I'm going to finally finish that top 11 of 2017. I think I dragged that out a little long for everyone, but we're going to finish it today, so let's get started. So there's no secret, we all love our US time playing, you know, iOS board games and other things on the iOS, but people think that's the only good place to find online or electronic board games. I say nay. Steam is another great place for board games. I know Scott himself will attest to how great Tales from Candlekeep, Tomb of Annihilation is, and it is that good. And that's the WotC game that Wizards of the Coast did. It's based on those D&D board games, kind of The Legend of Drizzt and Wrath of Shardalon and Ravenloft as well. And it is great. It's a great implementation of those games. But there's so many more board games on Steam, and they are coming out with a ton more. So recently announced titles are also amazing. So my game of the year from a couple years ago, Terraforming Mars, should be out by June. That's going to be a lot of fun to play. Now, I think a lot of games may start coming out on this Steam platform, mainly because they're going to take a lot more, and it's a lot more computing power because of what's going on in the game. And then I'm sure they'll find a way to port them, but I think it's a little easier these days to throw them on Steam first, then onto iOS. And that's what you'll probably see with games like Terraforming Mars, and which is a great, great Euro game by Stronghold Games. And the other game that's going to be coming out, should be out probably in the next 4 weeks or so, is Scythe, which is a lot of other people's game of the year from that year as well. So two good games to see on the Steam platform. Even though that game, now these are both going to be good games for the Steam or iOS platform, because Scythe itself, while a decent game, it is woefully boring at times. There's so much downtime. And a board game on Steam with friends or versus the AI might be exactly what that game needs to speed it up. And the same thing with some, you know, card shuffling and drafting of Terraforming Mars. Also coming soon from on Steam is Among the Stars, which is an amazing little card game. It's a drafting tableau builder in space. It's similar to kind of that Seven Wonders vein, because you're going to be drafting cards, passing them to neighbor, and then you're going to build your little space colony in which you're going to get victory points and money and such. Real quick, few Steam games, Steam board games that I wanted to recommend to you, because believe it or not, there are a ton. Like I said, a lot of things that are out on iOS are also out on Steam now, and it's a good platform to play a lot of these type of games. So you've got Ticket to Ride, which of course we know is amazing. Star Realms, which is a good deck building fix, one-on-one deck builder. I also love Ascension, which is actually out on the Steam platform, but you don't see it a whole lot. Most people just play it on their phone, but you can play versus the phone people when you do play on Steam, which is just fine if you're going to want to do asynchronously, which is like one turn a day or whatever, and play it in front of there. A One Deck Dungeon, which is brand new, just out on Steam, and it's going to be out on iOS if it's not yet. It's a quick little dungeon crawl. I think Scott and Brian would really, really love this one. The Pathfinder Adventure Card Game, Lords of Waterdeep, Terra Mystica, and Eclipse have that nice deep Euro feel. Eclipse kind of has that 4X feel, which is something that you don't see a whole lot, you know, done well in Steam implementation on board games. And then, of course, is the oldies but goodies. Small World 2 is an oldie, and Splendor's fairly new, and Race for the Galaxy, two really good computer implementations. I can't believe how many implementations of board games there are on Steam, but and I haven't even scratched the surface of what actually is out. All you have to do is do a little search on Steam for board games, click on one of those little tags that they have on the games, and you'll see a whole ton of more good ones. If anybody wants to ask if something is decent that before you pick it up, just feel free to shoot me a little tweet. I'll have my name later in the show, or later in this little segment here. But I want to repeat Terraforming Mars and Scythe coming in the next few weeks to it. Now, hey, let's get to the top three games of last year as decided by, well, me. So number three is Lorenzo Il Magnifico. This is another Euro. This is actually put out by Cool Mini or Not, who's not really known for the Euros, but this game has some great pedigree to it. It's an unusual Euro look where there's an old dude from like the 14th century scowling at you on the cover, but it's a great, great game. The designers have some good pedigree. They did. There's three designers, but they all had different ones had a hand in Grand Austria Hotel, Zolkin, and Agizia. Three amazing Euros and pretty much on my top probably 20 or 30 games of all time. So Lorenzo Il Magnifico, you've got dice in there, you're rolling them, that's going to be what's going to be the dice and the numbers you're going to use when you place your family out on the board, and that's how you're going to get cards. They're going to go on your little tableau. Throughout the game, you're going to be using these dice and these cards to accumulate resources and turn them into points. I know this is a big surprise, but this is what you do in basically every Euro, but there's just something about the card drafting with the dice and using those dice to do different things that makes it just amazing. There's also one of these, we call it kind of a feeding mechanic because it kind of keeps you in check and makes sure you have to do something. We call it feeding mechanic because, well, it's annoying as all hell, and it's usually become from feeding games like Agricola and other games like that where you have to feed your people. Here, you have to keep up with the church. You're using your tithing and giving money, or basically going up the church track. You're not really giving money. You're just going up on this track so that you, after each third round, I believe, you have to check where your status is with the church. And if it's above a certain point, you won't get penalized, or else you get penalized for the rest of the game, which can be a real huge pain in the patoot. But you can balance it pretty good from what you're doing out there, so it's not too much of a deterrent. Some games with the feeding mechanic can be really oppressive, like the original Agricola. It's a real pain in the butt with that. But anyway, that's Lorenzo Il Magnifico. I cannot stress how good this game is. Probably about $40. You can find it on Amazon from Cool Mini or Not, so check that one out. My number two game of last year is by J. Alex Caverne, and he's someone who did another game that was number two last year, which is World's Fair 1893. This year, he's got Renegade Studios put out Sentient. Now, this game also has some dice, but just like Lorenzo Il Magnifico, you're not kind of just rolling the dice all the time. They're just rolled once around for yourself. Now, you'll have a little bit of the dice in your tableau there, and they'll kind of go in these spaces. And between the different dice numbers, you'll be drafting cards throughout the game, and you're going to put them between there. So now, on these cards, which is really cool, is the cards will have kind of a We'll call it like an equation. It'd be like the left side must equal the right side. And like I said, you're putting the cards between there. So you're looking at the dice numbers, and you know, they may have to be between there in order to get the points that are on there, or else you're still drafting them anyway, but you're just not getting the victory points associated with it. And now also on the cards, in the top left and right, it may tell you that that die number stays the same, or the die number may go up or down by one. And you can kind of block that with a certain amount of workers you have for the round, but you may want to block it, or you may want to actually use that to manipulate the said dice that are in your little tableau there. What's amazing is kind of your it's like a puzzle. It's kind of using a little abstracty puzzle, even though the theme is kind of a space theme, where you're getting robots. I have no idea. It's just a space theme. But you're doing some really cool things, and it's very thinky, but not hard to play. It just has that good burn to it, where you're kind of thinking of what's next and watching what other people do, because there's also kind of an area control element that the cards that you're drafting out there, in each place where you do draft or you put your guys out there in kind of an auction way, you'll get another, they're kind of chevrons, it's just a little chits that basically will determine at end game what your multiplier is. So when, if you, depending on the type of cards you have and which ones of these chevrons, you're going to multiply them by each other, you know, the number of one by the number of the other, and then you're going to see what your points are for each one of the factions in the game. I'm not going to go into too, obviously, I went into it deep enough, but we're not going to go deep anymore, but it is a fun game. It's not very long. It'll take you a little bit to learn the first game, but what's really cool is using these dice in different ways. You're not kind of rolling them. You're not really, they're not just luck-based where you're just trying to roll to get a number at all. They are static on your board for the round, and you're doing something unique with them. Anyway, Sentient by Renegades Game Studios and J. Alex Caverne. You can probably get this, again, probably about $40. I think you could probably find it for $35. That's going to be a good price. At first, they were really, I think it was like $60 or $70. Don't buy it for that much, but you should be able to find it for about $40 right now on Amazon. Really good game, Sentient by Renegade Games. Number one, my number one game of the year, and this comes as no surprise because I won't shut up about this game, is Gloomhaven. This is your dungeon crawl with 90-something scenarios by Isaac Childress. The game is awesome. Get it, play it, take the time to learn it or watch some videos on it and just play it. This will give you that D&D fix if your group just doesn't want to have a DM or just don't have the books or don't really want to get into Dungeons & Dragons, but you want to play a really deep campaign. This is, as I say, the game I've been waiting my whole life for. It is that good. Now, I know Brian got a, Brian, you got to play a little more than just that first scenario, but because I know you'll absolutely love it. Scott, I think you just need to take the plunge because this game is that good. It's intimidating because there's a billion things in that huge box. Box weighs about 20 freaking pounds, but it's worth it. It's so good. Check it out. It's your typical fantasy fare where everybody's got a character. You're kind of leveling up your character, getting new skills. You're planning out your turns with each other, and you're playing against the game with an AI system that is really, really good. So check out Gloomhaven. I think you'll really love it. I think everybody else out there, you'll really dig it if you kind of like those type of games. I hope everybody enjoyed my top 11 of 2017. I'm going to give you a quick reminder. I'll run it down real quick. Clank in Space, Sword and Sorcery, Yokohama, Westline Express Delivery Service, Spirit Island, Professor Evil and the Citadel of Time, Century, Spice Road, Sagrada, Lorenzo Il Magnifico, Sentient, and of course, number one is Gloomhaven. Thanks for sitting through my top 11. I'll be back in a couple weeks with some other game news or in cover a game. Follow me on Twitter at GeekJogBlog or check out the Geek All-Stars podcast where we just had a great interview with John D. Clare and the Edge of Darkness Kickstarter that's up there now. So check out the Geek All-Stars podcast and I'll see everybody next time. Thanks again.
And we're back. Dan has taken it away and we heard it and it was great.
And
well done.
He took it away. We brought it back.
Yep. He talked all about pharmaceutical meeples in his segment. All right. Let's do a little of this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Thank you, Secretary of Energy, Rick Perry. We're going to take your Twitter questions. These come to us at the hashtag AskTMS. Anybody can send them. And many of you have. And we read them right here on the PM edition of the show, brought to you by our Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. Peter Fisher wrote in and says this. He's always ripped from today's headlines, the way Peter does.
He really is, yes.
So McDonald's served a guy on a horse. Would you think they'd be okay with dipping Lazy's bone in peanut butter? Sorry, Izzy's bone in peanut butter.
Oh.
I read lazy because I'm lazy.
Right.
No. No one should be okay with this.
Exactly. But they do have a separate thing of peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
For the apple dippers, don't they? So you could just get one of those and not ruin the whole jar with dog saliva.
Yeah. No, exactly.
solved.
Just rinse the spoon off, Taylor. I got to talk to my daughter again. We got to have a real discussion about this.
Yeah, it's the whole reason that, you know, you grab a different spoon whenever you're tasting food at a restaurant. Like, you know, you're cooking, you're like, oh, I wonder if I made the risotto too salty. Oop, I did. All right.
Yeah, I did. Out. You're always making the risotto too salty. Jason wrote in and says, would either of you eat the new KFC Double Down waffle sandwich? It's a Belgian waffle between two fried chicken breasts and maple areola. Two nipples.
Aioli is basically the 90s word for mayonnaise.
The answer is no, because if this was syrup, yes. I would eat this with syrup because I like chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
I would not eat this with mayo. Are you kidding?
That's the kicker right there.
That's disgusting. Forget it. The mayo, forget it. And I'm not even anti-mayo the way like Jury is and stuff. I just don't want it with my chicken and waffles. Ugh.
All right, so this is kind of funny. Oh, yeah, it's a totally different package. I just watched a guy, and it's like a independent UPS delivery guy, or maybe USPS. She pulled up in a white truck, parks in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Hops out, grabs a package. Oh, and now he's taking the first package back.
What? This isn't good. It's a FedEx guy?
Not meant for me.
FedEx guy?
No, I think UPS, but he's in just a plain white pickup truck.
Oh, he might be mail then, just regular USPS.
Might be regular US mail. I know that they do a lot of outsourcing there.
Yeah.
But he came and dropped off a box a minute ago, and then he must have went around the block and came back. I guess he probably got to the other place, said, oh, this package was supposed to go the other one. I gave them the wrong one.
This happens to me constantly, dude. I think there's a problem with them subbing this stuff out. Happens to me all the time. And it's always somebody in their Jeep, just some guy in his Jeep.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah,
I don't like it. Not happy about it.
Anyway.
Have either of you ever had peanut butter and Nutella sandwiches, says Rob D. I'll one up you, Rob D. Not only have I had that a bunch of times, many times. It's basically Reese's sandwich is what it is.
Right.
Today, this morning, I forgot to mention this, while I was having my leftover pork.
Two pieces of toast and an old piece of pork.
And an old piece of pork, I had a spoon that I filled halfway with Nutella and then halfway with peanut butter out of a different jar, mind you, than the dog one. That dog one is now set aside for the dogs. And I made a little half and half on a big spoon and ate that. That was my dessert today. I like me some Nutella and peanut butter.
Yeah, that's actually a thing you can easily do. If you don't have bread, just do a tortilla. Roll it up, and that's awesome.
It is really good what you're saying.
Yeah.
I've had that as well. In fact, we need to get tortillas today.
In fact, I'm going to do it now.
Scott Lees wrote in and says, you're in a crowded elevator next to a little person and you really need to fart. What do you do, hotshot? What do you do?
Oh, wow. Yeah, because proximity-wise, they're closer is what he's saying, what he's implying.
I mean, I have a hard time doing it in an elevator, period, just because you're in an elevator.
Yeah, it's rude.
Especially if you get stuck. And then now you're the guy stuck with the people that farted. You're the one.
Right, exactly.
There's no getting out of that.
But yeah.
What would you do if you really had to let it? Like, you're in pain, Brian. You got to let it out.
I would go to the furthest corner, and I'd act like I'm having a major coughing fit. And I'd make enough coughing noise to cover up what I'm doing. Exactly, like.
Oh, I love it. I think
that's all you can do.
I think that's the answer. You just done it. That's exactly what you should do. You should say, oh, excuse me, I got this cough. And now it looks like you're doing a nice thing for the little guy, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And then the whole thing goes junk, and now you're stuck with him. Scott Lees also asks, how are you enjoying your massive tax cuts? Yeah, no such thing for us. Sorry. We're not. I wish we were rich people.
Hilarious.
That's real good. Let's see. Runitude says, hey, just checking in. Is the Veronica sausage clip still getting longer every time you hear it?
I don't know. Let's hear it again.
All right, here we go.
It's a good test.
Is this the long one?
Sausage.
Yeah, that's the short one.
That's the short one. That's original flavor.
Veronica, here we go.
Sausage.
100%. That thing is getting longer every time I listen to it. That felt like it was like 4 minutes long.
Somebody get online and start a viral tweet that says Veronica at Veronica's sausage is getting longer and just spread it everywhere. That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's her. That's her screaming. Is that weird? All right.
Veronica Ann Belmont is a new media personality, the destroyer of worlds.
Yeah, there you go.
The key? Robot arms.
Robot arms. All right.
Robot.
I haven't talked to her in so long. She's been so busy. Even Tom barely, but Tom still has a show with her, and she's still hard to get a hold of. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, she's just real busy. Wow. I hope that means great success for her.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Let's read a couple more of these, and then we'll get out of here. How about this one? Let's see. Nope, not do that one. It's boring. How about this one?
Okay.
Chase Landkammer says, I just started a fruit and vegetable garden at my new house. Do you guys have a green thumb? No, I'm terrible at growing things.
I do. I sort of have a green thumb. I cheat, which is going to be no surprise to anybody, right? But I have a Miracle-Gro Aero Garden.
Oh.
And what that is, it's an indoor hydroponic, doing the hydroponics, yo.
Yeah, dude.
It's a hydroponic garden that you can that you just basically keep filled up with water. Mm-hmm. I'm growing tomatoes. We got a big bumper crop of cherry tomatoes on this thing and jalapeno peppers, and it's great. It's like it's about yay big, yay tall, and you just keep it filled with water. It's got its own lights that turn on automatically on a set schedule, LED lights. This thing is awesome, and it takes so little effort that I can do it without doing it.
Yeah, it sounds easy. I could do that.
It is. Kim's got, totally do that.
Kim's got a really green thumb. She's great at this sort of stuff and has always had a garden and always does really good things with it. But my things die. My stuff dies.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the way it is.
Mine did too until I did this. This was the keeper.
Well, there you go. Matt wrote in. Where can you get that, by the way, the hydroponic?
Amazon.
It's a Miracle-Gro brand?
Miracle-Gro Aero Garden, yeah. Hmm. And then you just buy the little pods for it. You can grow cilantro. You can grow herbs. You can grow different spices. There are a whole bunch of flavors that you can get, Scott.
Wow. Can I make my own agave? Can I do that?
I don't know about that. Agave, like growing cactus?
Isn't that what that is? A little cactus, right?
Yeah, you don't need a hydroponic thing to do a cactus. You could probably do that on your own.
I'd like to make a statement that the whole world should write down and I will stick to till my dying breath. Agave is not as good as maple syrup, and people stop telling me to put it on my pancakes because F you. It's disgusting. Yeah. It's fine for I don't know what else, but it's not good for pancakes and waffles. Blah, blah. I'd rather do blueberry schmoo than that. All right, one final question here. Matt says, do the characters in Scott's comics have names? He seems to draw a handful of people that could possibly be the same in multiple comics. Has he created some sort of backstory in his mind for them? Not really. In fact, I was so raised on Gary Larson, Mad Magazine, kind of a non-character kind of comic focus. Even though I really enjoyed Peanuts and I really like DC or BC rather.
To some degree though, I mean the duck, the ones you do for Retro Magazine.
Oh, Steve the Duck, yeah.
Steve the Duck.
He's right back here.
Oh yeah, right. There's Steve the Duck right there. Steve and the dude that's always hanging with Steve the Duck, the short glasses guy.
He's over there. And I don't have any other regulars. There's Henry, but he's not really a comic character.
Right.
There's Jeff the dog I did for a while. But I've always leaned more into random people have a joke. And I don't know why that is. I really think it's my far side influence. So I've just never buckled down on regular characters. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day I will. I have this website or this domain I've owned forever, and I have this awesome Star Trek kind of like idea set in space. Basically, it'll be about a space crew. It's called Dark Rim at darkrim.com. Right now, there's nothing there.
Okay.
I have like a list of Dark Rim characters. Let's see, where does that go if I hit it? Oh, go to darkrim.com, Brian. See what you get.
God. Oh gosh, I'd be scared.
No, nothing like that. It's just I put up a holder page back when I was ready to kind of go for it, and it still says the adventure is coming, which is kind of a bummer because I've just never gotten around to it. Whoops, there it is.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So
yes, you still have it.
Yeah, I was planning on doing big things with that, and I maybe still will one day. But I have a whole like
what's the word? Kind of a catalog of characters that I was going to build for that thing, and I just have never done it. One day, maybe. One day.
It's another marble for the straw.
There you go. Another marble for that straw. Some other straw. Some other marble's got to poop itself out, though.
Yeah.
Because it can't do it. I found myself giving that analogy to somebody on in a meeting that I had the other day, because they had this proposal to do some stuff, and they were like, all right, well, what would it take to rip? And in my head, I went, oh my gosh, I have to tell them the straw story.
Because, yeah, right.
Because they're about to give me another marble. And I explained that to them. They said, well, now let's see what we can do to make it maybe half a size of a marble. I'm like, all right, let me know.
You were trying to explain why you're not going to be able to get it done in time. And they're like, all right, what if we just wanted half the marble?
Yeah, what if it's just half the marble?
What if we wanted a more compact and dense marble?
What if your straw were to get bigger?
Oh, I've got one. What if you made it out of something besides marble?
What if we were the liquid between all the marbles? There's so many ways.
Would a little extra money make your straw longer?
You want some aioli in there? Anyway, that's your questions. Thank you for that. We'll do more of those next week. Of course, it's brought to you by patreon.com/TMS. That's why we do this fifth episode. Had some people a little freaked out yesterday when I just merely suggested the idea that, oh, when we started this, we should have made this exclusive for patrons. And he was like, no, I'm a patron, so this stuff can be free and out there and free from man's, you know, whatever. So I just want people to understand, PM's not being tucked away, and we're not doing that. Genie's out of the bottle, as they say. Not you, Genie, in the chat, but Genie, the Genie.
No, I mean, there. You know, we've talked about maybe doing a little bonus extra thing.
Yeah, which patrons, we'll do. I think we need to do that, and we will be doing that. Something. Yeah. We don't know what. Something short, something easy. But don't worry. PM stays where it is, okay?
Yes.
Calm yourselves down. Patreon.com/TMS is the place. If you would like to get the rest of our stuff, it's all at frogpants.com/TMS. We will now exit the building with, you know, humming a tune because Brian put it in our heads and now we can't stop singing it. What do you got?
Not a problem. Well, Stuart Cooper wrote in and said, as part of my ongoing drive to make a better me, both physically and mentally, I'm taking part in a 20-kilometer, which is 12.5-ish miles, walk carrying 20 kilograms, that's 40 pounds, to raise awareness of PTSD in the armed forces and emergency services. I would love it if you could play something either relentlessly propulsive or massively uplifting to drive us on to our goal. Wow. That's quite the request there, Stuart. Well, it's funny that you request this because I went on a bike ride again yesterday. I was hoping to go again on one today. What is it? It is 67 degrees, so I will go on one today.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crossed my threshold.
67, that's awesome.
Oh, it's gorgeous outside right now. Mm. So while I was bike riding yesterday, I was just listening to random shuffle music.
Mm-hmm.
And this one came up, and I made a note to myself to say, oh, next time we need kind of a more uplifting, you know, boompa 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 song, because this has a great driving beat that was perfect for bike riding, mm-hmm. just keeping my pedals going in rhythm, that I said I'm going to play this the next time somebody requests something like this. So just happens that Stuart Cooper did just that. This is by the Kaiser Chiefs, something they recorded in 2007 for the BBC Radio 1 40-year anniversary CDs that had a bunch of great covers on them. It's Kaiser Chiefs covering The Move, Flowers in the Rain.
Perfect pleasure has a key, and this is how This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I got to credit Veronica Belmont for turning me on.